Welcome in. So glad to have you with us as we are going to redo our Sunday morning lesson. For those of you who were watching online, we were having more technical difficulties than could be fixed at where we were at the building there at Wood. So we're going to redo our Sunday morning lesson. It will be up here on the screen next to me. I would encourage you to grab your Bible, study along with us. We're going to talk about Psalm 84. Now, as we normally do, before all of this world got just a little bit crazier, on Sunday nights there at Wood, I was preaching through the Psalms, and we started on 1, and we're ready for 142 whenever we meet back again on Sunday nights in our regular capacity. We'll just pick that series back up. Many great lessons and study, at least on the preacher's side, have come from that, and I hope from those that have been there in the audience as well. As it happened in 2018, back in February, my wife and I, well, we were still dating, we were engaged at the time, but we went to the Fried Hardeman Lectures. And so I asked Dad to preach for me, and he just wanted to keep our series on schedule, if you will. So he actually preached Psalm 84. So it has been preached at Wood, but I had not preached it yet. And I've just kind of been sitting on that idea that I want to go back and I want to preach it so I can say I have preached, Lord willing, once we get through them, I can say I have preached a sermon from all 150 Psalms. And so I thought, given the time that we're in, I would go back to Psalm 84 because I find it very fitting for the time that we're in. Join with me. Grab your Bible. We're going to study Psalm 84. And we're going to begin with the title of the psalm. Now, as we're looking at these psalms, we need to remind ourselves of a couple things. Number one, it is Hebrew poetry. It's not English poetry, but it is Hebrew poetry. It's laid out in a certain way. And one of the things that Hebrew poetry is known for is almost like it's building a bridge. You make a statement, and then you say it, and then you come back, and you make the same statement, and you take it a little bit farther, and then you come back and maybe say it a third time and go even farther. It's the idea of building a bridge. And we're going to see that some in our psalm here under examination today. Something else we need to note are the titles in the psalm, because some of the earliest known manuscripts that we have of God's Word include these titles. And so they often help us. Not every psalm has a title, but the ones that do often help us learn more about the author or the idea behind it. So our title for Psalm 84 says, "To the chief musician upon Gittith, a psalm for the sons of Korah." So the title, "To the chief musician," that means that that is something that is performed publicly. But we move on. Upon Gittith, it is a stringed instrument. Maybe it's from Gath. We know there were giants in Gath, but there's a good chance it was a stringed instrument. But here's the interesting thing. It says it is a psalm to or for the sons of Korah. Go with me, if you don't mind, for just a second to 1 Chronicles chapter 9. 1 Chronicles chapter 9 and verse 19. I love the books of Chronicles because it's chronologically a history of God's people. Look in verse 19, though, with me. "And Shalom the son of Kor, the son of Ebiasaph, the son of Korah, and his brethren, the house of his father, the Korahites," or the family of Korah, "were over the work of the service, keepers of the gates of the tabernacle, and their fathers, being over the host of the Lord, they were keepers of the entry." Now, Korah was, if you remember your Old Testament history, Korah led a rebellion where people went up against Moses and they murmured and they complained, and in a way to show God's superiority, the ground literally opened up, swallowed those of Korah, and then covered back over them. And they quickly learned their lesson, and it taught everybody round about a lesson about them as well. But the descendants of Korah, we see from 1 Chronicles 9:19, it is their job, they're gatekeepers of the tabernacle. They're the ones that would let you in if you were supposed to be in, and they would keep you out if you were supposed to stay out. Well, why is this important? Well, we're going to see what this psalm is dealing with. Go with me there as we begin Psalm 84. We're just kind of going to do a running commentary, and then we're going to make an application of this psalm to our lives. So turn with me to Psalm 84 and verse 1 for the time being. "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts." If you write in your Bibles, if you make notes in your Bibles, you may want to note, this is the only place in the entire English Bible you get the word amiable. What does that mean? It means something that is pleasant. It means something that is lovely. So the psalmist is saying, Lord, how pleasant, how lovely are thy tabernacles. Now, normally when I think of tabernacles, normally I think of tents. In fact, when I think of the tabernacle, it was a big tent that in the book of Exodus, starting about chapter 25 and following, God gives specific instructions to his people on what to make it, how big to make it, what to make it out of, and how I want you to do it. Well, here, really in Psalm 84:1, tabernacle may be better translated as dwelling places or the place where God is. So I want you to picture this. Jerusalem, if you've ever looked at a map or geographically speaking, Jerusalem is up on a hill. That's why anytime you hear somebody reading from the Bible or discussing it, you always went up to Jerusalem or you always went down from. No matter where you're going, Jerusalem is always up on a hill. So imagine you've been doing this long journey, going to Jerusalem to worship, and you see Solomon's temple in the distance, and it's up on the skyline, and you can see it. You are longing, and you're thinking how lovely it's going to be when I finally get there, and I stop this journey. It would have been a very remarkable sight. Verse 2 of our psalm says, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Notice the psalmist has a great desire to be here. Where's here? In thy tabernacles. He wants to be part of the assembly. There is a burning fire within him to be where God is worshipped, to be with God's people in the worship, and to worship God. He longs for that. Verse 3, we see, yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. We see here the psalmist says, I'm envious of the birds, because there are birds, and they have perched themselves maybe on the side of the tabernacle or on the side of the temple. He says, I am longing for them, because God is taking care of them, and they are where I want to be. Go with me, if you don't mind, for just a second, to Matthew chapter 10, because if you've ever thought that God is too big to worry about you, I want you to remember that he even watches over the sparrows. Matthew chapter 10, verses 29 through 31. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. What's Jesus saying? He says, if God's going to take care of the sparrows, imagine how well he will take care of you. One of my favorite songs we sing is, his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Here our psalmist is looking forward to being with God's people. Now, as we continue our examination of Psalm 84, there are really three Beatitudes I want us to look at, and we're going to hit the first two here, then the last one comes at the end of the chapter, or at the end of the Psalm, I should say. But what is a Beatitude? We're familiar, usually, when a teacher says we're a preacher, we're going to study one of the Beatitudes tonight. You can go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 5. Because starting in verse 3, at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, are persecuted for my name's sake. The blessed are's. Why are they called Beatitudes? The Vulgate, if you're familiar with that, is the Bible translated from Hebrew and Greek into Latin. And in the Vulgate, blessed are is beatus, B-E-A-T-U-S, where we get the English word, the Beatitudes. And so there are three of them, I should say, in our lesson today. The first one is in verse number 4. Blessed are, that would have been beatus there in the Septuagint. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will still be praising thee, Selah. Couple things. First Beatitude here, that's the blessings of gathering together and then worshiping God. Blessed are they, he says, that dwell in thy house. What's thy house? He's talking about when they're meeting. Now, Notice I have that they up on the screen that they're still praising after they left. Have you ever been to a sermon or just a regular worship service, maybe a gospel meeting? Maybe you went to a Friday night singing and they sang a song that you hadn't thought about in years? Or maybe the preacher preached on one of your favorite passages, or maybe preached on something you weren't that familiar with. And what do you do when you get in the car? Well, on the way home, if you're me, I may be singing His Eyes on the Sparrow if we sing that. I love that one. My favorite's To Canaan's Land, I'm on my way. So if we sing that, I may still be singing it in the car. Or if he taught out of James, and I love James, I may be mulling over, thinking about what he said, or something like that. Well, here he said, blessed are they that dwell in the house, because they're still praising after they left. They're still thinking about, they're still dwelling on what has happened in the worship service. And then we have that little interesting word there at the end, that is Selah. What is Selah? Selah is an untranslated word. It appears 74 times in the Bible. 71 of those times happen in the book of Psalms. In 39 different Psalms, we see that word Selah. Three other times appear in Habakkuk, the third chapter. So he said, here's a man that is blessed, Selah. Pause. Think about it. Our next beatitude is in verse 5. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them. It's talking about spiritual strength. You know, we talk about physical strength, mental strength, emotional strength has been at the forethought of a lot of people's mindsets lately. But friends, the most important kind of strength is spiritual strength. I want you to go with me to 2 Corinthians 12, verses 9 and 10, for just a half a second or two. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10, Paul talks about how he has a thorn in the flesh. In verse 7 and verse 8, he says, I asked three separate times if God would remove this thorn in the flesh. And notice what God says. He says, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, Paul says, I will rejoice in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. What does our psalmist say? Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. Paul says, I have a thorn in the flesh, and he doesn't tell us what it is, but there's something that bothers him. And three times he asked God to remove it. Three times God said no, because God says, my strength is actually made perfect when you're weak. God says, my strength works because you need to rely upon me more. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. Verse 6, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. Baca means weeping. You see, somebody is passing through difficulties, passing through sorrows. Often a dry valley. But yet, the psalmist says, as you pass through this valley of sorrows that is dry, that is barren, it shall be a well, because you're weeping so much that you're causing the place to flood. You are causing the place to fill up with water. Friends, the people sometimes who are going through, who have the roughest life, are the ones that look forward to worship the most. Why? Because that is time that they can come in, worship their Creator, and leave the cares of the world outside. So sometimes those that are having the most difficult situations are the ones who find the most joy there in worshiping. Verse 7, we have an interesting phrase. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion, that's Jerusalem, appeareth before God. Well, how can you have strength to strength? Something that's strong and then it's made stronger? Is that what we're talking about? You know, if you plan on going on a trip, you wake up early in the morning and you have all this energy because you slept the whole night, and then you drive 8, 10, 12, 14 hours and you get to the room or you get to the wherever you're staying, and what's the first thing you do? I just need to sit down for about 5 minutes and catch my breath. You're exhausted. Yet here's the idea where you start out strong and you finish stronger. There's some other places in the Bible where a similar expression has been used. We'll go ahead and put all three up here. We're going to quickly look at all three of them. Our first one is in the first chapter of John. chapter 1 and verse 16. The Bible says, in His fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. So we had grace, but because of Jesus Christ, we have more grace. Let's go to 2 Corinthians now, chapter 3 and verse 18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as the Spirit of the Lord. So we had some glory, but thanks be to God, we can have more glory. And then the last one, the thesis statement for the book of Romans. We're familiar with verse 16. Just emphasize verse 17. For therein is righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Then he quotes Habakkuk, the just shall live by faith. So we have faith, but now we have a bigger, a better, a stronger faith. Friends, knowing what will be in the end, that we will be before the Lord, the valleys make us stronger, make us a better Christian. Verse 8, go back to our psalm of Psalm number 34, please, because he asks a question, he makes a petition. Hear, O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. There's that pause. He says, pause, and then hear my prayer, and it follows in verse 9. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. Who is the one that's anointed? Is he talking about the king that he lived under? Is he talking about the priest he lived under? Friends, for us today, the face he's talking about applies to us, is the face of Jesus the Christ. Because Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy 2:15, there is one God, one mediator between God and man, Jesus the Christ. Friends, he is the anointed. We look upon his face. Verse 10, I love verse 10. Watch this. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Go back to the beginning of our lesson with the introduction. Who is this lesson, or who wrote this psalm? Who is it for? A psalm for the sons of Korah. The sons of Korah were the gate or the doorkeepers. Look at this play on words. He said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wickedness. We've also talked about tents and tabernacles. He said, I'd rather dwell in the tabernacle of God and be a doorkeeper there than to dwell in the tent of those that are wicked. There's you some Hebrew poetry, some Hebrew play on words there. Verse 11, for the Lord God, He is a sun, He is a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will be withheld from him that walk uprightly. Talk about a sun and shield that was light, warmth, but also protection. Maybe even a shield from the sun, a sufficient measure. He talks about grace and glory. Grace now, glory to come. And that's what Peter talks about in 1 Peter 5 and verse 1, where he exhorts them. He says, I'm an apostle, but I'm also an elder. And to the fellow elders, he says, I am a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and I'm a partaker of the glory to be revealed. Here we see grace and glory. Peter says, I'm talking about the glory that shall be revealed. We're familiar with Matthew chapter 6. In verse 33, Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. We put God first in our lives, live according to thus saith the Lord. Friends, we will receive that glory if we are faithful until death. In Romans 8:32, he that spared not his own son, but delivereth him up for us all, how shall he not also freely give us all things? Because he gave his son, he's willing to give us this if we meet him on his terms. And then our last verse in Psalm 84, it is our third and final beatitude. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. So you're blessed if you trust in God. An invitation song would be trust and obey. When we walk with the Lord, in the light of His Word. What a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, all if we trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. And here the Bible says you're blessed if you trust in Him, if your strength is in Him, and if you dwell in His house. So quickly, as a way of wrapping this up, and the lesson is yours. There was beauty of worship in Solomon's temple. Go back and look at the dedication of it in the Old Testament, how beautiful it was. Friends, there is beauty of worship in God's church. When you worship in spirit and in truth, singing and praying with the understanding, and also doing things decently and in order. But friends, I can only barely begin to tell you of the beauty what worship will be like in heaven. When all of God's singers get home and we're all gathered around the throne and doing nothing but continually praising our Maker if we're faithful unto death. That is Psalm 84. How pleasant and lovely, how amiable it is to dwell in the tabernacle of the Lord. Thank you for watching. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.